everything around a few different times there. Well, good morning. Welcome to Life Point Church. My name is Andy Driscoll, and I'm the lead pastor here, and I'm just so thankful. I'm excited to have each of you here today, celebrating and worshiping our good God. So thank you all for choosing Life Point as your place of worship. Today, we are continuing on with our current message series, and this is the final week, the third and final week. We're calling When God Doesn't Make Sense. And over the past few weeks, we've kind of discovered it and just talked about the fact that there are many times when we run up against things in life that really just don't make sense, right? And it leads us to start questioning, especially if we're followers of Christ, like, God, why are you allowing this to happen? Like, what's going on? This doesn't make sense to me. You know, why is this happening? Where are you in all of this? Right? And we face these different times in our life where it just really doesn't make sense. And in week one, we talked about the times that God just seems distant, right? When God seems silent in our lives and how we work through that. Last week, we talked about when God seems late, right? When he seems late to the game on something. And today, we're going to wrap things up by talking about something that honestly is rather difficult. It can be really, really challenging situation in our lives. You see, last week when we talked about when God seemed late, we talked about the story of Lazarus. And while that was a challenging time for Mary and Martha, in the end, ultimately, things worked out kind of the way they originally wanted it, right? They were praying that Lazarus would be healed, and though God seemed late to them, ultimately Lazarus got to live. And that's how the story concludes, right? But this week, but today, it's not quite like this. It's not quite this easy. And we're going to talk about those extremely difficult times when God seems stubborn. And I know that might just saying that out loud might make you feel a certain type of way. But I'd venture to say that we all have those times where we feel like we're praying and we're seeking God, but we don't feel he's responding the way that we want him to. And then in our human flawed minds, we feel like God is being stubborn for some reason, right? He's uncooperative with us. And it's those times when we 100% know that God could do something. We know that he could change the situation. You know, and we're praying for that, and we're petitioning God, and we're praying, and we're believing. And he just says, no. No, not this time. And it can bring up a slew of difficult and painful emotions in us when we encounter this. I mean, that's my personal experience. And so my hope and my prayer this morning is that God would use this time and he would use these words to help us to understand his ultimate plan, right? Outside of our emotions, outside of what we want, understanding his ultimate plan as we learn to truly depend on him. Right? It's those times when God maybe seems stubborn to us. And so as we kind of start this conversation, I want to start by giving you an example of kind of what I'm talking about here, just from my own personal life. I think about just this past winter when we had a pipe freeze up at our house. And for those that have known me for a while know that is now a fear of mine, considering we had a pipe freeze and burst in our house probably about 4 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, and it destroyed our house. I mean, literally, we were out of our house for 6 months while it was being repaired. It collapsed in our ceiling, flooded our whole house. It was an absolute mess. And so when the pipe froze this year, I freaked out. I was like up to like 4 a.m. trying to figure it all out. Like, what am I going to do? I call our neighbors, Tom Drexler over here, like 3 a.m. to the emergency line and had everything lined up for someone to come out. And man, I was praying like, God, please, please do not let this pipe burst. Like, just please do not let this pipe burst. And then the next morning, we were praying all day long. And the next morning, the plumber came out, looked at it, and we did a few things, and it unfroze, and the pipe didn't burst. And so we celebrated, and we were thanking God for answering that prayer. But then I also think about, over this past year, the opposite that occurred. I think about my roommate in college, one of my best friends from high school, who was diagnosed with colon cancer at 34 over this past year. And seeing him struggle and praying for him to be healed. it was a husband, had beautiful children. And we prayed and we believed that God was going to heal him. And he has so many people in his life that were praying for him to be healed. But God said no, for whatever reason. And over this past summer, he passed away. And it was one of the more difficult things I've ever faced. Just because I didn't understand. Didn't make sense to me. So it leads me to question, God, why in the world would you answer such an insignificant prayer of a pipe not freezing? Why would you answer that prayer but not hear the prayers of all these people that were praying for this man, this father, this follower of you who's a servant of God? Young kids, a spouse, had life ahead of him. He was 34 years old. God, it doesn't make sense. This is those situations you run into. And respectfully, I kind of feel like being stubborn. Just in my emotion. And I believe it's pretty much safe to say that every single one of us here today have probably encountered something like that. We've been in those type of situations. You know, maybe it's December and you're going out to the mall, St. Matthew's Mall. If you've lived around here for any length of time, you know what that's all about. And you get off the expressway smooth, and next thing you know, you got a parking spot right in the front. You're like, God, thank you for the parking spot. That was awesome. I prayed that it would be a smooth travel, and there it was, boom. But yet you're also praying that God would remove your migraine headaches that you struggle with, or some illness, or your depression and anxiety, or whatever it may be that you're struggling with and you're praying, but God seems silent. He says no, for whatever reason. And it's tough. We question, we don't understand. It's like, God, I believe that you can do this. I know that you can do this, but you haven't. You didn't. So with that said, I want us to discuss what we're really to do and how we're to operate when we feel that God is being stubborn, when God is saying no and we don't get it, when it doesn't make sense to us. Like, as a true follower of Christ, how are we supposed to respond when we're praying and we're believing and we're praying and God just says no? How are we supposed to handle that? And to help us with this, I want us to check out a very pivotal element in the life of the Apostle Paul. And what I want to do from this is I want to share with you three different thoughts about prayer that I truly believe will help us as we navigate these tough and difficult waters. When we feel this emotion come up in us where we just don't understand. God doesn't make sense and the situation doesn't make sense. And we're going to look at these three different thoughts on prayer, and hopefully that it will begin to change your perspective. So the first thought that I want to share with you this morning about prayer is this. It's that we need to understand that prayer is not about getting our way, but surrendering our will. Prayer is not about getting our way, but it's about surrendering our will. It's not about getting what we want. We'd like for it to be. Sometimes this is what we think it is. But it's not just about getting what we want, but it's about surrendering to what God wants. Because he knows what's best. And it's believing and trusting that. And while some may struggle with this, honestly, this is exactly what Jesus, this is how he models this for us throughout the New Testament in his earthly ministry. We see this in his life when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane before his crucifixion. He prayed this. He said, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. May take this away. If there's any other way, God, let there be a way. Then he says, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. He surrendered to God's will. Not what he wanted, but God's will. And then when Jesus was teaching his disciples how to pray, right? When he's teaching them how to pray in Luke chapter 11, he said, when you pray, say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Your will be done, not ours. But your will, God, your will be done. Jesus gave us that clear example. That prayer, man, it's not about what we want. It's about his will. And so when we look at the life and the journey of the Apostle Paul, man, we see as he really discovers this truth. He experiences it in a real and raw way. And so if you're not real familiar with Paul, I want to give you just a little bit of backstory about him. See, Paul was originally, he hated Christians. When we're first introduced to him, he truly hated Christians. So much so that he made it his life's mission at that time to go out, find Christians, persecute, and even kill them. I mean, that's how much this dude hated Christians. But see, later we see that on his way to persecute more Christians, he had an encounter with God. Right, he had an encounter with God that absolutely changed his life forever. And ultimately, he became one of the most effective Christ followers in all of history. Powerful leader. Spread the gospel all over the world. Right, he wrote over half of the New Testament. He traveled on a ship for about 20 years, taking the gospel to places that it had never been. This dude was a man of God. Powerful, bold in his faith. He did incredible things. God did incredible miracles and things through him. And as a result, though, he had some really, really difficult times. He faced a lot of challenges. He paid a tough price for it. Because see, while God did all these incredible things through him, he also was brutally beaten at times. He was whipped, left for dead. He was shipwrecked, thrown in prison over and over and over again, all because of his faith and his ministry, living out his call that God had for his life. He went through it. He endured some of the most difficult things we could never imagine. So when you kind of step back and think about, if God would answer his prayers, my thought would be absolutely. If there's anyone's prayers that God's going to answer, it would be his, because he was so faithful. Even in the face of persecution, he was faithful. So surely God's going to answer whatever it is that he wants. But that simply wasn't the case. As we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we find a very difficult and challenging piece of scripture. And it starts in verse 7, and Paul says this. He says, "Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, keep me from becoming arrogant or proud, he said, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me." Now, if I'm being completely honest, I don't like that. I don't like that. I don't like reading that. When I read that this incredible man of God that's done this so many things, that we just read that he has this thorn in his flesh that is a messenger from Satan to torment him. Not only was it there, but God allowed it. Sometimes I don't like that, right? If I'm being honest. And not only does God allow it, but what we see as we progress is that God uses it. He uses it in an incredible way. It says right there that it was to keep him from becoming conceited. It's this thorn in his flesh. So what is this thorn, right? What is this thorn in his flesh? Well, we don't really know. Many scholars have debated and discussed this for years and years and years. And we really, really 100% don't know what this thorn in his flesh was. But we know it tormented him. So it wasn't good. The Greek word that translates as the word thorn here is the word scolops. And it can be defined as a sharp stake. A sharp stake. It was actually also the word that was used when they talked about if anyone was ever killed by being run through with a stake. So it's that intense. That's what he's saying. He's saying, I have this thorn in my flesh. It leads us to believe that it's incredibly painful, miserable, right? It said it was tormenting him. And again, we don't know exactly what it was. Many believe that it was some type of physical ailment that he was suffering with and dealing with. Others believe that it may have been just the general opposition that he constantly faced, right? We talked about how he was beaten, right? Left for dead, ridiculed. I mean, it was tough. But regardless of what it was, we know that it was tormenting him. And that God allowed it. And he used it to keep him from being conceited. So what about you? I know that there are many of you here today that have some kind of thorn in your life right now. Right? You have something, some illness or some personal struggle, some challenge. Maybe it's a health issue, right? Maybe it's a physical health issue or it's a mental health issue with depression or anxiety, or maybe it's your stomach or you have real bad acid reflux or whatever it may be, and it's just constantly there and it lingers. Maybe for you it's your circumstances. Maybe you're like, you're just seeking God and you're like, God, I just need a job. Right, I just need to be able to provide for my family. I need reliable transportation. Whatever it may be, what is that thorn in your life? And when you have that, I'm sure that you look at God and you're like, God, would please change this. Remove this thorn. Remove this thing from my life. Heal me from this, right? And we seek God with it. But God isn't changing it. It can be frustrating, confusing. Sometimes it makes you angry. But see, we have to remember that prayer is not about getting what we want. It's about surrendering to his will, knowing that his ways are far beyond ours. And that's a tough thing to grasp, but we have to understand this about prayer. The second thought that I want you to share with you about prayer, and it's something I believe we all need to be reminded of from time to time, and it's that prayer reminds us that we are not in control and keeps us close to the one who is. Again, prayer reminds me that I'm not in control. That's something that I need to hear. Something I need to be reminded of a lot. I like to be in control of things. Just a little bit of a control freak. But prayer reminds us, man, that we're not in control. And it keeps us close to the one that is. That's in control of all things. And so for Paul, this thorn in his flesh, man, it served to remind him of just this. That he wasn't in control. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8, next verse says this. It says, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. Man, and this wasn't just three little prayers, you know, throughout the day that, you know, God, take this away, take this away. You know, it wasn't simple. Man, this is three heartfelt times, seasons of his life where he was seeking God and praying, calling out to him, petitioning him, God, take this away, please. Pouring his heart out, desperate, prayed that God would take this away. Focused prayer. And I think about the different times in my life where I've been at that place, pleading with God. And I think about when I was in high school and early college, when my wife has had a heart condition. She had multiple heart surgeries. And some of them went well, some of them didn't. And it was frustrating for her. It was terrifying for her, but hey, it was terrifying for me. I was freaked out. I didn't know what was going on, and I pleaded with God to bring healing, to let these surgeries work, to heal this situation so she doesn't have to keep going through this. I mean, I'm talking pleading with God. I think about the times in my own life that you know, with my own thorn in the flesh, where I'm praying and pleading with God to remove this, to take this from me. Bring healing. Heal this situation. And this is what Paul was saying. He was desperately seeking God, crying out to him, praying, just begging, pleading with God to remove this thing. It was intense. And again, some of you may be in a season just like that right now, where you're constantly pleading with God for something. To change something, to turn something around. Maybe it's that you're praying for God to save your marriage because it's on the rocks and it's tanking quickly. And you're praying and you're seeking God, pleading with him. Again, maybe it's a physical thing, there's some pain or whatever it may be, but you're pleading with him. You're begging. This is what Paul was doing. That's how intense this thorn in his flesh was. God, I trust you. I'm seeking you. Please, please remove this thing. And again, if there's anyone that I would assume that God would say, yeah, Paul, I got you. No problem. I'll remove this. You've been faithful. You've been just. You work hard. You've endured a lot. I'll remove this thing. But again, it's not how it happened. That was not the end result. God said no. See, Paul's begging, but God responds this way. Verse 9 says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. But God, please remove this thorn. Remove this thorn in my flesh. God said, no. But understand that my grace is sufficient, and my power is made perfect in your weakness. It's my grace. And you may think to yourself, you know, well, I thought grace was just the thing that brought about forgiveness, right? I mean, that's powerful. It's important. But I thought that's what grace was. How is that sufficient for removing this thorn or taking care of that? But what we need to understand about grace is that it's much, much more than that. The Greek word used here is the word charis, which is used 156 times in the New Testament. 156 times in the New Testament, and it can be defined as undeserved favor, loveliness, loving kindness, and grace. And he says that is sufficient for whatever you're facing. Whether I choose to remove it and to heal it or not, my grace is sufficient. My mercy, my kindness, my love, the joy, it's sufficient. It's all you need. It's about his presence in your life. And if you have that, I mean, you're good. But you see, what we typically do is we say things like, well, God, this is what I need, right? I need you to remove this from my life. I need you to do this thing. And if you'll do that, then I absolutely will have everything I need. But God's like, no, that's not it. In this case, I am all you need. My grace is sufficient. And my power is made perfect in your weakness. He says, I am enough. I'm more than enough. It's the mercy, the love, and the presence of God. Sure, he could do it. He could do anything. He could heal that situation. He could remove that thorn. But in this situation, he said, you're going to experience me in my presence in a way that you never have before. See, I could do what you asked, but see, if I don't, you're going to experience my presence in an incredible way. It's his grace. It's experiencing him. It's those times in your life when you're going through something and people come up to you and say, man, how are you functioning? How are you making it through? And you're like, I honestly don't know. I just know it's the grace of God. It's his love, it's comfort, his mercy, his peace that he's poured out in my life. Doesn't make sense. I can't really explain it. It's just his presence in my life, and it's enough. And it's hard to understand that, like sitting here when you're not in the middle of that storm or that crisis, or when you don't have that thorn in the flesh that's just throttling you all the time. But when you are in that moment and you really embrace and understand that God is with you, that he's enough, man, you get that peace that goes beyond all understanding because it's his presence. As a parent, one of the ways I think about this is, you know, with my son, I think about just this past weekend, just a couple days ago, we had a lot of rain, and, you know, his bed was right there by the window, so he was hearing the rain, he was hearing the thunder, right? And so in those times when he's scared, all he really needs is my presence. He needs me to say, hey, you're good. You're good. I don't have to change the situation. Obviously, I can't stop the thunder. You know, I'm not in control of things, right? But I don't have to change the situation or the stimulus that's creating that fear. All I got to do is be present. And he's good. It's the same thing with God. Or with my daughter. When she has maybe a difficult night at dance, or she's frustrated, she's upset, or whatever it may be, all she needs to do is just run into her mom's arms. And she's good. Maybe have a good cry. And she's good. Jen doesn't have to change the situation. She doesn't have to fix anything. She just has to be there. Because presence is powerful. That's what we're talking about. His grace is sufficient. Sometimes God just allows that thorn to remain so that we can understand that his grace is sufficient. That his presence is truly all we need. You see, we need to recognize that prayer is not about getting our way. Contrary to popular belief, it's not always about us. Not all about me. God doesn't exist to serve us. I think that's one flaw or one thought that we have at times, that God exists to serve us. But see, it's the opposite. Man, we exist to serve him and to glorify him. So we need to understand that we have to surrender to his will. We need to understand that prayer reminds us that we're not in control and that it keeps us connected to the one who is, keeps us in his presence, and that's enough. It's all that we need. And then the third thought that I want to share with you about prayer is this. That prayer is not just asking, but it's trusting. It's not just asking. Prayer is also trusting. Trusting that he knows best. That he knows what he's doing. That he's got this. It's trusting. Now, don't hear what I'm not saying. Prayer is asking, yes. We are going to ask God for things. We're going to seek him. We're going to petition him for things. If you come to me or to one of us here at this church and tell me that you're struggling with this, or you're battling this issue, or you have, or diagnosed with this illness or whatever it may be, man, we're going to be praying for you. We're going to ask God to heal you, and we're going to believe that he can, because he's the great physician. And we are going to ask, and we're going to believe that. But we're also going to trust at the same time. We're going to trust that he's in control. We're going to trust that he's going to work this out the way that's the absolute best, even if it's not the way we want it to work out. Even if it's not the way that you want it to work out. We're going to ask, but we're going to trust. See, James says that we have not because we don't ask. So we need to ask. We need to seek God, but we trust at the same time. So again, with Paul, so he has this thorn in his flesh, right? He has this thorn that's tormenting him. And he's seeking God, and he's praying, and he's asking him, God, take this away from me. Please remove this. Remove this from me. And God says, no, not this time, but my grace is sufficient. My presence is sufficient, and my power is made perfect in your weakness. So over time with this, Paul has this change of perspective. He has this shifting of understanding from praying and pleading with God to remove this thorn, to understanding that God is using this to work out his will, to build him up, to increase his impact and his ministry. That God is using this to keep him from becoming arrogant and prideful. Then he says this in verse 9 and 10. He says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses. Why? He says, I will boast more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That's why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecution, and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I'm strong. It's a change of perspective. From God remove this to man, I'm going to delight in this because God is using this. Because this is his will. It's keeping me from becoming arrogant and prideful. Maybe this is something that I definitely wouldn't have chosen for myself. But I trust God. I trust in his presence and his power. And again, that his ways are far beyond our ways. His knowledge is far beyond our knowledge. So we trust him. See, it's the times when we can't do anything else but depend on him that we really become connected to him. That we really understand how good he is and how faithful he is and how much he loves us and that his grace is truly sufficient. That even if we have nothing else, if we have him, we're good. And again, what about you? Talk about Paul all day long. It's easy. But what about you? What if you changed your perspective? See, we all have some type of thorn. Every single one of us. We have this thorn in the flesh. But what if we had a shift of perspective? What if you said, man, while I hate this illness, and I hate these headaches, and this that I have to keep going through, but what if we shift and say, you know what, I delight in this because it keeps me trusting, connected to God. Keeps me humble. Keeps me seeking him. What if we had that shift of perspective? And while I hate being lonely, I want nothing more than to have someone else in my life. God, you've allowed this so that I know that you're all I need. And I can depend on you. And I can trust you. So I delight in this. What if you changed your perspective? Maybe, what if you were asking and seeking God, but trusting him ultimately? Maybe you're currently in a situation or a place in your life, man, you absolutely hate it. You hate it. You hate the situation you're in. You hate what's going on. There's just some things that you just don't like. And you wish more than anything that God would change it. That he would remove it, that he would change your situation or that he'd bring healing or whatever it is. And you've seen him do it in some areas, but for some reason in this one area, he just doesn't. It's frustrating. It's painful. It's confusing. It's discouraging. But if you're in that situation and you remain faithful and you stay connected to God and in his presence, over time with his presence, I believe that you'll be able to look back on that one day. You'll look back and say, God, I didn't like that. I wish there was another way, but when I look back, God, I see how you used that. I see how you used this to bring me closer to you. Our relationship is so much closer and more intimate because of this. God, so I thank you for that. It brought me and my spouse closer together. Man, I wish we never would have had to have gone through that, but it brought us closer together. So I thank you. We have that shift in perspective. You see, over time with the presence of God, there's clarity. There's understanding. So we trust. We ask, but we also trust. We trust him that he's in control. And I don't know what it is for you. I don't know what you're going through or how difficult it may be or how painful. But what I do know is that no matter what, no matter what it is, God's presence is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. His power is made perfect in your weakness. And I claim that truth all the time, that his power is made perfect in my weakness. He's faithful. And even if you pray and you seek him, and even if he says no, understand that he's still a good God and he still loves you. He's still faithful. He may just be doing a work in you right now that you won't fully understand until further down the road. So we trust him. So we're going to keep praying. Even when it doesn't make sense, Even when God doesn't make sense, we're going to keep praying, and we're going to do so with the understanding that it's not about my will and what I want, but it's about His. We're going to pray understanding that we're not in control, but He is. And He's faithful, and His grace is enough. And we're going to ask and pray, but we're also going to trust. Every step of the way, we're going to trust Him. So whatever that thorn is in your life, whatever it is, man, I really pray that years from now, you'll be able to look back and just say, thank you, God. And during that time, until then, that you'll trust Him. That you'll trust Him. You'll see where He's working. And you'll see how good He is. Because even when He doesn't make sense, know that we serve a great and loving and faithful God. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for how good you are. God, and as flawed people, God, there's those times when our emotions get in the way. When we get in our feelings, God, and we look at what's going on around us or our current situation or the things that are going on around us in the world, and we're just like, God, this just doesn't make sense. But God, may we trust you. May we understand and know and believe that you are working all things together for the good for those that love you and that are called according to your purpose. God, may we trust you. And we thank you. We thank you the fact that your grace and your presence is sufficient, that it's more than enough. God, we're so thankful for that. As we continue in prayer, maybe you're here today and because there's been these times in your life that God seems distant or just seems late or just seems stubborn or whatever it may be, when God just doesn't make sense, that it's you've allowed that to keep God away. You've pushed Him away because of that. And maybe you've never truly come into a relationship with Him. You've never accepted Him as your Savior for whatever reason. And if that's you this morning, I just want to share and just that you hope that you would know and understand that, man, God loves you so much. I know that in our world today, there's a lot of tough things. There's a lot of darkness. There's a lot of hate. Unfortunately, there's a lot of hate both inside and outside of the church. But what I'm here to tell you this morning is that that's not God. And God is, He loves you. He wants nothing more than to be in relationship with you. He wants you to be connected to Him for all eternity. He loves you so much that He made a way for you to know Him and to be made right with Him through His Son, Jesus. As we approach this Easter season where we celebrate His death and His resurrection, know that He did that for you. He gave of His body, shed His blood for you so that you could be made right before God. And Scripture says in Romans 10 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God rose Him from the grave, that you will be saved, connected to Him for all eternity. You'll be a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things are new. He says you just confess and believe. Place your faith and trust in Him and Him alone. So if you're here this morning and you know you need to be connected to the Father and you've never taken that step of faith, you've never crossed that line of faith, today can be that day. And if that's you, man, just call out to Him however He leads. You can do it from your seat. You can come forward. Be free to do what you want, how you want, how God leads. But you just call on Him. Confess and believe. God, I believe you are who you say you are. I believe you died and rose again for me. Be my Savior. Make me whole. Make me new. I trust in you and only you. You just call out to Him how He leads. As we also, as we continue in prayer, maybe you're a Christ follower. Maybe you've known Christ and been connected to Him for years. But you're in a tough time right now. A thorn in your flesh is real. And it's hammering down on you. And it's not fun. And you're in that difficult time, that difficult season. Whatever it may be, trust God. Trust Him. Trust the process. He's a good God, and He loves you. He knows what He's doing. I don't know how many times in my own life that I've experienced this, and there was in situations that I wish I wasn't in, but then when I look back, I see how God was working everything out for the good, His master plan at work. Sometimes I need to go through those tough times, those tough experiences, to learn some things, to humble me. He knows what He's doing. Trust Him. And give that over to Him. Keep praying. But trust Him. God, we thank You for Your love and Your mercy, Your grace and Your presence. God, may we as a church know that Your presence is enough. And may that lead and guide us every step of the way. And no matter what that thorn is, God, whatever that obstacle is, or whatever it may be, God, that we trust You, that we believe that You can heal and will heal. You will change those circumstances. You will bless us, God, but there may be those times that You just say no, because You know what's best. And though we may not understand it, God, may we trust You. God, I pray for each and every person in here this morning, God, that You would speak to them. Lord, may they hear exactly what it is that You need them to hear, God, what they need to hear from You. Even if it has nothing to do with anything that I've said today, God, I'm great with that. Because it's about You, Father. So You speak Your truth at this time, Father. And may we as a people be responsive. For those, God, that don't know You as their Savior, God, I pray that they would let that go and just receive You today, Father. You speak and You move, Father, and we'll thank You every step of the way. This time, you just spend time with God. You do business with Him as He leads. If you would like to come forward and receive prayer or pray with someone, that's great. If you want to do that straight from your seat, that's awesome as well. You'd be free to do, but you do and speak with God as He leads you at this time.
I was sure by now.